Amazon.com filed patent paperwork looking for a variety of capabilities. One of them was the ability to suggest gifts based on the personal details of customers, including, and we love pointing this out, religion, sexual orientation, and income. And the data is collected not solely, from what the customers tell Amazon, but the patent specifically referred to Amazon also accessing it from publicly accessible databases. Mark, you are a former federal prosecutor, and you are a wonderfully paranoid person as well. What is your take on this? And let me just state for the caveat that clearly Amazon's position is that they file a lot of patents or patent requests, and certainly they don't intend to use all of them, and they maintain that they certainly don't intend to use this one. That said, what was your take on all this?
Well, this is a good reason why they don't let patent lawyers talk to marketing people and vice versa. Because the patent lawyer's interest is to write the patent as broadly as possible, and a marketing person is going to sit there and say, oh, don't worry, we don't have any intention of doing that. But let's take the patent at its word. Let's assume that they plan to do everything in there. The first question you ask yourself is it legal? And the unfortunate question from a privacy standpoint is, yes, it is. There's a whole bunch of public databases out there that allow you to literally profile people, real public databases, things like what their address, what their income is, what their property taxes are, what licenses they hold. All of that stuff is in public databases. Then you've got semi-public information, like what I bought at Amazon, how much I paid for it, when it was shipped, when it was delivered, all of that kind of stuff. And those are semi-public databases that are proprietary to different companies, but they're not protected by law. And unless you've agreed not to share that information with somebody, there's no legal restriction on your sharing or using that information. Amazon's privacy policy is very broad, and they give themselves the right to do pretty much anything they want with it. So this is a variant of what you would call the know your customer rule. Here they're going to know their customer really, really well. They're going to link these two databases and say, what do we know about you from what you've bought with us, and what else can we find out about you from other databases? They're probably already doing that. The third thing that this patent adds is the fact that they're now going to make that available to the public, albeit in a simplified manner. So now they know a whole bunch about me. They know my buying patterns. They know where I live. They know how much I pay in property taxes and what licenses I have. So they have a pretty good profile of me. A friend of mine wants to buy me some item. They're going to log into Amazon. They're going to be able to fish Amazon for information about me simply by having Amazon suggest books and movies. That's scary, because that database then effectively can be recreated if you have enough time and patience, and anybody can find out that information.
Isn't it true that anyone could find that information anyway?
Well, not easily. The problem is that these public databases that Amazon is talking about aren't really all that public. You have companies that collect this information, and they charge you a fee to have access to it. But, Amazon could reach an agreement, for example, with eBay and say, eBay, we're going to share our information about what people buy and profiling, and with Google. And then we're going to share this information with Google, and we're going to find out from Google, what kind of searches are you conducting, and with AOL. So you've got to sit there and say, what databases are they linking to find out a profile of me, and what are they doing with that information? And the law is way behind on this. They're really are very few laws on this. There was a lawsuit filed this week against America Online for releasing search data by the Electronic Frontier Foundation, but it's not entirely clear that data is private.
Now, you're talking about a court of law. What about the court of public opinion? If they did something like this, I would certainly imagine that a public backlash would certainly not be unheard of.
Well, it's exactly right. I mean, I think that if it's done with a very light touch, it's possible that they could get away with it, you know. And if it's done with the consent of the consumer, in other words, if my mother-in-law wanted to buy me a gift, and instead of calling my wife to say, hey, what kind of stuff does he like, went to Amazon sent me an email, said, somebody wants to buy you, this person wants to buy you a gift. Is it okay if we release the information? That's something different than somebody writing an Autobot that's going to search everybody and basically suck that information up itself.
Well, I mean, what's the service called now, though, that's, I don't know, it's not Digital Angel, but it's something about they're actually, they've used it and they can find, you know, your Social Security number and everything else. I think they just found 5,000 of them that they just searched the net, and basically all of your identity is someplace out there on the net if people have posted your Social Security number and obviously birth date and all those kinds of things are just available out there. You know, how open a world are we in?
Well, we're now adding that to another layer. You know, it's not just my identity that is things that identify me. It's virtually every preference I have, not just sexual preference and religious preference, but, you know, what kind of food I like to eat and when I like to eat it. What do I like to read and what do I like to look at but not read? What books have I not bought this month? What am I searching for? What are my interests? What are my curiosities? What are my predilections? Who are my friends? Who am I talking to? How am I talking to them? Everything. And that's the dark side of the information age.
Now, Mark, you had a fascinating point the other day, which is that that kind of analysis of this data has a very practical flaw, that people use Amazon, among other services, to buy gifts for themselves, to buy gifts for others, and presumably the Amazon database would have little way of knowing with certainty which it is. So
Amazon might know that I had certain books shipped somewhere else. But if you were to look at my Amazon profile, you'd think I was a 13-year-old girl. Why? Because most of the time I use Amazon to buy books. I'm not buying for myself. I'm buying for somebody else because I needed to ship it somewhere else. They've got to have a way of distinguishing books that I bought for myself and preferences or things I've looked at. You know, in the AOL case, one woman who was profiled in the New York Times had done a lot of searches for medical information for her friends. And you might think she had all these diseases and disorders. She just happens to have a lot of sick friends.
Well, you know, at some earlier when you wrote about it, I thought that's cool. You know, that's cool. But then when you just mentioned that in fact there are ways that this information can then be gotten at, the laws around the privacy are less stringent than the laws around your civil rights. So if you take, for example, a state that doesn't provide, let's say, equal rights for or employment protection for gay people, for example, and because they explicitly called out sexual preference. So I'm a potential employer, or I'm an employer, and you're getting married, and so I, you know, or you're getting, it's your birthday or something. Getting married probably doesn't work in this analog, but you know, it's your birthday, and so I go out and I discover your sexual preference, and perhaps my religion doesn't like that sexual preference. I can fire you. And there's really, in lots of states, there's no protection against that. So that, you know, raises a red flag for me, for sure.
Help me with the understanding in terms of a patent filing. Is a company the size of Amazon, I am assuming that before they file a patent, which is not a trivial amount of money, it might be trivial to Amazon, but it's still, they file a lot of patents, and there is a cost associated with them. Would it not be reasonable to conclude that if they're filing the patent, someone in the company wants to seriously consider this? That it's not simply, oh, let's file 1,000, who knows, maybe we'll do it. I have to imagine there's at least some interest at some level that they really are thinking of doing this.
Well, of course, the answer to every legal question is it depends. There are a lot of companies out there that file what are called stealth patents, and they're patenting technologies that they have no interest in ever developing, only so that if anybody else ever develops it, they can sue them. They can wait, let other people develop other products that violate the patent, and if they become profitable, say, oh, great, now we can sue you. And they'll only sue on the ones that are profitable. So that's called a stealth patent, and that's fairly common in the technology arena. But you should start with the assumption that a company like Amazon is only going to file a patent on a technology that it has some intention to develop and deploy.